may not know, there are some places I can't go. But I am sure of this one thing, and God is real, for I can feel deep within. My God is and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can give him my soul. Someone may doubt, may scorn, all can go on. I'll take God's part, and God is real, for I can give him my heart. My God is real, real in my soul. My God is real, for he has watched and made me whole. His love for me is like you go. Just how you felt when Jesus took your sin away. But since that day, yes, since that hour, God has been real, for I can hear his holy power. Yes, my God is real. Hallelujah. Really, my soul. My God is real, for he has walked and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My God is real, for I can give him my soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many knows he's real tonight?
Yes.
Is he real in your soul? Amen. I believe he's real right here tonight. Praise the Lord. I feel his presence. Let's just sing Amazing Grace, Kev, I guess. Well, it's amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. best praises that I sang. Praise God. 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 Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Welcome to the service tonight. I believe the Lord has in store for us a good time tonight. Amen. Welcome each one that's here and those listening tonight by way of internet. Trust that God will just give you also a special blessing tonight. Let's sing that song, same key, fill my way every day with love. Amen. What's greater than His love today, and abiding in our hearts and soul each day, and just fellowshipping with Him and thinking of His love and His benefits to us. What a wonderful Savior we have tonight. Let's sing it to Him. Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way Thou hast called me straight to the land above. Hear everywhere to the sad and alone, feel my way every day with love. Oh, feel my way every day with love. As I walk with my heavenly dove, keep me close to the side of my Savior and I. Keep my way.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Ron if he would come tonight as we pray. We want to remember the Jacksons tonight are working. We want to remember them. My wife is with my son, Mark. We want to remember him in prayer. He had back surgery Monday, and she's taking care of him tonight. We want to remember my daughter, Karen Morgulier, at work. And also for, we want to remember Nathan Brown that has strep throat. So we want to remember Nathan tonight as we pray. Also, Brother Brian McCall at work. So let's remember all of these tonight, that God would meet these needs. And maybe you have an unspoken request tonight. Jesus Christ, He knows our hearts. He sees every hand tonight. And we can just go to Him, faith believing tonight.
Them whatever their needs are, and we just ask you to be with the ones that are here and the ones on over the internet, and give them the word, dear Lord. And we ask it in Jesus' name, amen.
Do you feel that need tonight, saints? I need you, oh, I need it every hour, every hour. I need you. Yes, Lord, we need you tonight. Let's sing it one more time. I need thee, Lord, how we need you tonight. Every night. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Let's sing that song before Brother Keith comes to sing. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Amen. Amen. In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning. Going to sing right there, maybe. Amen. Want to welcome our visitors tonight. I don't believe I did that. Visitors always welcome. And also, we're glad to have Brother Barry and Sister Becky back tonight, too. Glad to have them. And amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Keith, go ahead.
It's sure good to be here on a Wednesday night myself. I was so excited. I told Brother Barry today, I was just so thankful to be here. I don't typically sing from the organ much because it's hard. So if I mess up, just pray for me. This song, I just love the words of this song. I actually heard this song many, many times, and I've sung it here a couple times, but I didn't pay much attention to it till I heard my buddy over at Happy Valley, Joel Brown, sing this song probably about 25 years ago. And it's never been the same ever since. But this song, the words just speak to me because I know there's many here that it seems like the harder you try, the worse things happen sometimes. And you ask yourself, Lord, what have I done, when you've really done nothing? You've done exactly what He's asked you to do. He's just trying you a little bit. But this song is tempted and tried. We're oft made to wander. But we'll understand it farther along. Amen. I know you know this. So just help me sing it. Tempted and tried we're oft made to wonder, oh, why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living among us. Oh, they're never molested, though they're in the wrong. Oh, but Father alone, God are gathered home, we're gonna take
of how we overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Father, alone we'll know all about it. Oh, Father, alone we'll understand why. So, children, my brother, you can live in the sunshine, 'cause we'll understand. Cheer up, my brother, you can live in the sunshine. Oh, we'll understand it all by and by.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand as our ushers come tonight. Amen. As we worship the Lord in our giving, let's sing that song, Great and Mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Amen. Brother David, if you would pray over the offering tonight. Thinking like it was fast, but anyway, my wife says that's what you get for thinking, and I shouldn't say that when you're not used to it. That's one of her favorite little things she shouldn't say, you know, but anyway, let's sing that chorus, Flow Through Me, Holy Spirit, as Brother Barry comes tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't you want that Holy Spirit to flow through you tonight, and I believe that Spirit is here. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Yes, Lord. Flow through me tonight as I live, I am.
Tonight. God bless you and welcome to the house of the Lord. It is good to be here tonight, good to be back, and just such a wonderful, you know, I guess people say that, but there's just such a wonderful presence when I walk through the back door tonight, and that tells me two things. Number one, you're ready for service tonight. Number two, Brother Branham said you meet the spirit you left when you were last here. So whatever spirit we left when we left here Sunday, that's the spirit you meet, because nothing happens in here between those two services. And so I know it was a blessing on Sunday, and I appreciate Steve taking the service there. It's a special week for us for a couple of different reasons, and that is yesterday was Brother Richard and Sister Mary Smith's wedding anniversary. They're not here tonight. They had their wedding anniversary yesterday. The same day was also Single Harwell's birthday. God bless you, Brother John. We appreciate you very much. And tomorrow, by the way, is Sister Sheba Javed's birthday as well. I just wanted to ask you, just to remind you to begin to pray for the trip that will be taken at the end of the month, in the 1st of August, to Zambia. And this is, it's a long trip, and it's a new frontier for me, but I feel really specifically directed to go. The challenge, though, is the brothers over there, they're excited, and they've got things arranged, and it's just looking really... I'm really grateful for their participation in all of this going over. The challenge, though, is this, is that on Friday, as I mentioned to you before, I have to do my swearing or my oath ceremony, and that'll take place Friday morning, 9 o'clock. Once that happens, I lose my ability to leave the country and come back in again. I can leave the country, but I wouldn't get back in, because I will only then have a Canadian passport. So I have to have a new passport in order to get back into the country again as an American citizen. I got all emotional this last trip because I came through the customs and showed my passport, my resident alien card for the last time. And I told a guy when I came through, I said, "This is the last time. This is it." And he looked at me and he said, "What do you mean the last time?" I said, "I become a citizen on Friday." And he just about hugged me. He was so happy. He just thought that was the greatest thing, you know. And it's almost like, can we get our picture made together? And but anyway, I just to say this, that my appointment to get my passport for the trip to Zambia is on Friday the 27th. So that's 2 days before I go. And I have to physically go to Washington in person with the documentation in order to get the passport on the spot. And I said to the woman, like, if I can't get my passport, then we have to make some serious changes. And she said, there's no guarantee. And I said, I didn't say to her on the phone, but I said to myself, "Lord, if you wouldn't mind sending angels on marching orders ahead of me to get that passport, that would be just great." Yeah. So we're just, if you don't mind, just to keep that part in mind in prayer, that would be really good. If you have not visited our website over the last couple of days, I'd like you to go visit it. We're going to talk a little bit about it Sunday, but if you get a chance, go visit our website and catch some of the new postings that are there. We are delighted tonight to have Brother Andrew Glover with us. Sister Mariah, it's good to have you with us tonight as well. Why don't we stand to our feet, and we're just going to give Brother Andrew time tonight and the liberty to minister what's on his heart. And we're just thankful that he's here tonight with us, and just trusting that, you know, when somebody who's not a part of the church comes in and ministers among us, it is always, to me, an exciting thing to see what he would say, because the only direction or leading he has is not what's going on in the church, but really what God speaks to him about, what needs to be said to this church. And that's what's exciting. So I want you to have that kind of expectation tonight, and we just want to reserve enough time for him to be able to minister what's on his heart tonight. Let's sing that little chorus, "The More That I Surrender, the Lighter My Load," and let's just approach him tonight prayerfully now as Brother Andrew comes.
More that I surrender, the lighter my load. More that I release my care.
This evening, has the Lord been good to you? I tell you, there's one thing I know, that the more you give him of yourself, the more he'll give you of himself, and he'll fill you up with his Spirit. Amen. That's our desire tonight, is not to leave full of ourselves, but to leave full of him. Amen. And we know that if he comes tonight, all things are possible. You believe that? Amen. God richly bless you this evening. If you have your Bibles, we'll go straight to the Word. I'm mindful that it's a midweek meeting, so we don't want to be a Pharaoh preacher and not let God's people go. So we'll go straight to the Word tonight. In the book of Ephesians, the first chapter, and while you're turning there, we certainly want to greet you in the name of the Lord. We certainly count it an honor and a privilege to be here and have the opportunity to speak to you this evening. And sure do appreciate Brother Barry for the invitation and opportunity to come. And I want to bring you greetings from our church at home, our pastor, Brother Roy Shrewsbury, and all the saints at Spoken Word Tabernacle send their greetings. And sure, I'm glad to have my wife here with me tonight. And she helped us drive down here so we could study and pray. And so we sure do appreciate that. And we just love the Lord this evening and ask His mercy upon the meeting. Just before we read His Word, let's just bow our hearts together and humble our spirits in His presence and ask the Lord to come and do something special for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we gather here tonight, dear God, we are very mindful, Lord, that we are not speaking, Lord, to just anyone, but Lord, we are speaking to the Queen of Heaven. And Father, we know that here standing before us tonight is the most powerful force of people upon the face of the earth. When we're living in such an age where politics are falling apart and Republicans and Democrats are arguing and different governments are fussing and fighting and no one can seem to come to a conclusion, Lord, here stands a group of people that is carrying the power to the rapture. Lord, they're carrying the secret to a body change and how the devil must hate us, how the devil must fight us. But Lord, we come here tonight, dear God, to sharpen up our swords just a little bit sharper. Lord, we come to hear something of eternal value from Your Word. And Lord, as we come here tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit would come across this congregation. Lord, You see the needs and the situations, the circumstances, dear God. But Lord, we know that You're still Jehovah Jireh, and we know that You're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Father, I pray You would come now. Anoint us afresh, dear God. Move our thoughts, our ideas aside, Lord. Move tiredness and cares of life aside. And Lord, may You come and speak to this people in a special way. Bless this assembly, dear God. Lord, I pray for Brother Barry, Lord, his family. God, may You continue to bless him. And Lord, as I sat there and heard the situation with his passport and visa, Lord, I've been there at the time of a trip and not knowing if it was going to come through or not. I pray that the angels of God, Lord, would move before him, Lord, and would make everything work out according to Your divine purpose and plan. And Lord, we'll be sure to give You all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory, for we ask these things in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Do you love Him this evening? Amen. The book of Ephesians, the first chapter, and I want to read from the first verse. The Bible here says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, notice, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Verse number 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We just ask the Lord this evening to bless the reading of His Word. As you may have your seats for just a few moments, I want to, if I can, by the help of the Lord, to speak to you from something that's been up on my heart for some time. And just recently studying and praying and spending some time with the Lord, I've been really going through the book of Ephesians quite a bit, read through it several times. And so I want to, if I can, to speak to you tonight, if I would title this, Called to Another Ephesians. Called to Another Ephesians. And I tell you, in listening to the prophet of God, I heard him make a statement. He said, now this book of Ephesians, he said, it's not addressed to the world. It's not addressed to the unbeliever. He said, it's not addressed to the make-believer. He said, but the book of Ephesians is addressed to the believer. So I wonder tonight, how many believers do we have here among us? Therefore, we've not gathered here tonight as unbelievers. We've not gathered as make-believers. We've not gathered, amen, as borderline believers. But by the grace of God, we've gathered here tonight as believers. And we realize that the word Ephesians actually means a placing in the divine plan and the consummation of that plan that Christ has made for our lives. So I believe tonight that we can come here not as unbelievers, not as make-believers, because the unbeliever, amen, there's no confidence there. The make-believer, he's really not sure, but a believer has 100% confidence that Jesus Christ is in control. And I believe tonight with all of my heart that we can relax in this promise, amen, that being confident of this very thing. He which hath begun a good work in us, amen, is able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. There, I believe that we have been confident tonight that the message of the hour is not just any kind of message, but the message of the hour is a divine message, and it has come with the divine plan of God for every one of our lives, and that He will complete that in our lives. Now, we realize that many times people come to a place in their life and they wonder, do they have a purpose in life? Do they have a direction? Are they here just taking up space? Are they here just paying bills and just going to church and going through college? But I want to tell you tonight, there's something about this message that has separated us from every other individual upon the face of the earth and has placed an anointing upon our lives. Therefore, we are not here in this last day as just Laodiceans. We are not here as just lukewarm religious people, but we are here as the bride of Jesus Christ that has been chosen by God to be here. See, we didn't bring ourselves here, amen, but it was God's divine plan. It was God's divine sovereignty, amen, that made a way that we would be here. Therefore, Jesus would say, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now we realize that we're not in the beginning of the world tonight, but by revelation we know that we're at the end of the world. Therefore, the prophet of God would say, unto the end of the world, or until the consummation of the seven church ages. And the message the mighty God unveiled, he said, here I am tonight, 1964, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, identified with the same kind of group, with the same kind of experience. He said, I must be to be a Christian. I must stay identified where the Word of God is being manifested. I'm identified with a group that feels the Spirit of God. Now, why are you not in one of these 900 denominations tonight? Why are you not, amen, a part of some organization or a part of some social gathering? Because there was a seed that was placed on the inside of your life, and it wasn't placed there when you come to the earth. It wasn't placed there when you come to an altar, but it was placed there from before the foundation of the world. Therefore, there's something inside of you that identifies, amen, all that God was, we are. Amen, all that He was a part of, we are a part of. Therefore, there's something in our hearts tonight that is not satisfied, amen, with just a church entity. They're not satisfied, amen, with just religion. But there's something on the inside of our souls that is saying, there is only one place I can be identified. I can't be identified under a handshake. I can't be identified under a membership. I've got to be identified under the Shekinah glory. Amen. For I was not born just to be in the outer court. I was not born just to be in the inner court, but you was born and ordained of God to go into the holies of holies. And the holies of holies is not any kind of place, but it is a reserved place. It is only a place that the elected overcomer can go into. My, then to think tonight, church, that you are not going to be survivors, but the Word says you're going to be overcomers. Amen. You're not just going to be religious people, but you're going to be identified, amen, as the bride of Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, I am identified with a group that knows He is unveiled, that knows He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and knows that this is not a fanaticism. It is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm identified with that group here tonight, yet they're called a bunch of heretics. They're called a bunch of fanaticism on the account of the Word of God. But He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, and I am one of them. He said, I am with the living epistles I spoke of, vindicated, God veiled in human form in men and women. So that opens up a whole new channel to us, that the devil is not fighting you because of the church you go to. The devil's not fighting you because of the way you dress. He's not fighting you, amen, because of the position you hold in the church. The devil is fighting you because all that God was, He poured into Christ, and all that Christ was, He poured in the church. Therefore, amen, deity is not in heaven tonight, amen, but deity is sitting in this building tonight. It is the same Lord Jesus that was veiled in Moses has been veiled in you tonight. The same Lord Jesus, amen, that was veiled in David is veiled in the people that I am standing before tonight. My, then to thank God in His amorphe again unveiled Himself and make Himself known to the people. He said, the great King who laid aside His glory and said, yet a little while and the world will see me no more. I'll be veiled to them, but ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, all the way to the consummation. Listen, church, we're not at the foundation tonight. We're not in the
the middle of the pyramid, but we have come to the headstone. We have come to the capstone tonight. You are the final runners. Amen. You are the final generation. You've got the final message. Hey, I'm just going to back up here and preach for a minute. If there's ever been a time you've wanted to do something for God, right now is your time to do it. If there's ever been a time you wanted to be active as not just being a pew sitter, amen, but being a Holy Ghost manifested son or daughter of God, walking in divine authority, right now is your hour to rise under this message. Now, to think that Brother Branham was not a fanatic, and neither are we. Amen. Paul was not a fanatic, and neither are we. He was not a heretic, and neither are we. We are believers tonight, amen, that this message came for one purpose, and that was to call us out and bring us into. Can you say amen? In the message, absolutely, he said, I remember when he swept down there in that big light. He said, standing yonder at the bottom of the river, 1933 in June, when he said, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, I send you with a message to the world that'll forerun the second coming of Christ, and around the world she's went. When revival fires has been built for nearly 15 years on every mountain, divine healing across the nation, the power and restoration, and now, let's say that together, and now. And now, see, we're not putting this in the past no longer, and we're not putting it in the future, but we're saying, and now, he said, I believe she is ready to strike that final climax yonder that is going to bring forth a faith that will rapture the church into glory, and she is laying in the messages. Now, where is her power coming from? It is not coming from a system. Her power is not coming from a man's personality. Her power is not coming from a person's idea. Her power is coming from what she is laying in, and the prophet said she is laying in the messages. We're really at the end time. Oh, we've talked about it, but the thing has moved up on us now. Yes, sir, here we are. So therefore, I want to tell you, this is the greatest hour that has ever been known to man to be a believer. This is the greatest hour to be a believer, not in a man's idea, not in a religious view, but to be a believer in the divine scripture of Almighty God. For by the preaching of the word, we are moving into our inheritance. By the preaching of the word, we are moving into our position as a believer. Hey, the unbeliever does not have a position in this body. The make-believer does not have a position in this body, but the believer has a position that was given them from before the foundation of the world. My, then to think a prophet would identify this time as not any kind of time, but he would say this is adoption time. Amen. This is the time that the church ages has been waiting upon you. Paul is waiting upon you. Peter is waiting upon you. He said the church is waiting on me and you right now. It's adoption time when God can pour into us His fullness, His power, His resurrection, that when the church and Christ become so close together, amen, till Christ becomes visible among us and raises the dead and we go in the rapture. Hey, I don't know what you're looking for, but I'm not looking for another age. I'm not looking for another messenger. I'm not looking for another church. I'm looking for the rapture, which is the fullness of adoption, the changing of our bodies in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. My, then to think a prophet would say there is going to be a rapture. There is going to be a bride. There is going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. Listen, he was not speaking as one hoping. He was not speaking, Brother Keith, as one wishing. But he was speaking as one with authority to say that there's going to be a bride as sure as there is a God. There is going to be a rapture as sure as there's a God. And I want to tell you tonight, amen, you are going in that rapture as sure as you are sitting on that chair tonight. Your body's just going to be changed as sure as you are sitting there tonight. You say, how can you say that? Because I heard a prophet say, prophecy cannot fail. Amen. Prophecy will not fall to the ground in vain. And a prophet saw you, amen, marching to the step of a different tune in this last day. My, then to think tonight it's time to quit playing church. It's time to start having church. It's time to stop playing with God. It's time to get down to business with God. I tell you, the devil is after families. Is this okay? The devil is after churches. The devil is after marriages. The devil is after homes. The devil is after anything he can get his filthy hands upon. Amen. But I come to tell the devil our families are going in the rapture. I come to tell the devil, amen, that our spouses are going in the rapture. Amen. Our children are going in the rapture. Your young people is going in the rapture. You say, Brother Andrew, you're just giving us a bunch of hopeful thinking. No, I'm not. If it worked for Hattie Wright to stand there, amen, and obey the vindicated word of God for the day in which she was living in, then may I say tonight, it still works in this day. My, to think that our families, the devil's tried to destroy them. He's tried to destroy homes. He's tried to destroy churches. Amen. Because he knows we are on the verge of the rapture. Amen. But I feel like the prophet of God said there's going to be a rapture. And he said there's going to be some leadership that's going to lead you into the rapture. Hey, let me tell you tonight, church, we still need leadership. It's a day and time where they can't take leadership. Amen. Let somebody stand up and say, this is the direction we're going. Amen. And everybody rises up and wants to crucify that man. Amen. But thank God in this last day, there is some people here that still got enough Holy Ghost in them that can say, Father, your word is right and my idea is wrong. And if I don't submit myself to Holy Ghost leadership, I'm going to be left out. I tell you, sometimes it amazes me how people can never let go of the past to embrace new leadership. They can never let go of what was to embrace what is. I remember Brother Paul LaFontaine told me one time, he said, people come to my church all the time and say, well, Brother Paul, I'm moving here. You're going to be my pastor. You're going to be my pastor. He said, then they spend 10 years, amen, judging me based off of their former pastor. He said, and then they get mad at me, judging me based off of what he did, and never give me a chance to be a leader to them. And I think that's the same way a lot of people's done with this message. Amen. They've come and judged this message as just a Baptist idea, as just a Pentecostal higher step. But can I tell you, this message is thus saith the Lord. It is not subject to man's opinion. It is not subject to man's idea. This message needs no interpretation. It just needs vessels to release themselves and say, Father, fill me with your spirit until the word can become more than a book on the shelf. It can become more than a tape in a tape room. It can become more than a picture on the wall. But this message can become flesh. Amen. The word has been ordained to come flesh again in this generation. My, then to think as Moses would stand up and would announce to an entire nation, hey, in the morning we are leaving here. Now go to your tents and get your house in order. We're leaving here. Moses would stand and command them, go sanctify yourself. Amen. Because in the morning we're leaving Egypt. Go in there and eat the lamb. Get ready for the journey. Amen. We're not staying here, but we're leaving here. Do you realize who Moses was really pointing out when Moses made that statement? He was not pointing out the housewives. He was not pointing out so much the children. He was pointing out the men. He was saying, listen, men, go home and be the head of your house. Is this okay? And get your house in order, for in the morning we're going to leave here. My, to think today that we have been given the same commission in the message called the third Exodus. Little bride, we're not staying here, but we're leaving here. Get your houses in order. Apply the token. We're leaving here. And it's such a day and time, amen, where the devil has attacked headship. Is that okay? The devil has attacked the family like never before, because the devil wants you, amen, to leave a hoof behind. The devil wants you to leave a child behind. The devil wants you to leave a family member behind. Amen. But I feel the same anointing in this building, amen, that came upon Moses when he pointed his finger in the face of Pharaoh and said, when we leave here in the morning, we're not leaving a hoof behind. Everything that belongs to us is going with us. Can I get a witness tonight, amen, that'll say, devil, we're not leaving one young person behind. We're not leaving one family member behind. We've been given an order, and it's a word order. We're leaving here. Get ready. Any day we're going to be gone. My, then to think the prophet of God would say, in order to go somewhere, you've got to have a guide. In order to go somewhere, you got to have headship. In order to go somewhere, you got to have leadership, especially if you haven't passed that way before. We find the message, the invisible union is, I'll just have to share this with you, if that's okay. We probably all know this quote by heart. It's the message where the prophet of God says we're entering the rapture age. But I was studying this the other day, and Brother Keith, something jumped out at me. He said, now, real quietly, I'm going to ask consecrated men and women who really know God, most of them. He said, it's a very strange thing. It seems it's always altar calls is mostly all. He said, it's mostly always women. He said, but you know, in a regular run, it's women. He said, but it's all men here. Now, we know paragraph 379 by heart. It's on. Thus saith the Lord, the move is on for the bride. Amen. But the paragraph before that, amen, caught my attention, that a prophet identified that there was men at the altar who were consecrating themselves. Amen. And then he would announce, it's thus saith the Lord, the move is on for the bride. Listen, it was not William Branham going home to every one of those homes, amen, to consecrate those homes and to bring those homes under the token. Amen. But it was the heads of those homes. Is this okay? It was the heads of those homes that that made their way down to an old-fashioned altar, and before the spirit of prophecy would come up on the prophet and say, "Thus saith the Lord, the move is on for the bride," he would say, "There's men here who has consecrated themselves." Amen. And I think that's what we need again in this day and time. We need men that's not ashamed, amen, to raise their hands in church. We need men that's not ashamed, amen, to let their kids see them cry around an old-fashioned altar. Hey, I know this ain't popular, but it's the God's honest truth. We need headship, amen, to come back in the homes. Listen, church, a brother told me one time, he said, "I can tell what's going on in the home by the way they're acting on the pews." And I'll tell you, that's the same way it is spiritually. Amen. The devil is so weak in the roles. He has weakened the roles of a pastor. He has weakened the roles of a deacon. He's made it such a lukewarm, formal age, amen, that a man can't be a man no more and a woman can't be a woman no more. Amen. But this message didn't come, amen, to embrace this Sodom and Gomorrah perversion. But this message come, amen, that living right may come back in the church. My, to think tonight I'm looking at people that has been ordained of God, amen, to change the way people look at families. I'm looking at people tonight that's been ordained, not from the altar, but from before the foundation of the world, amen, to rise up in this generation and say, "We're not going with the tide." Amen. If we lose everything, we're going to stand for this message. If we lose every friendship, we're going to stand for this message. Brother, we need men to be men, women to be women, young people to be young people. This message come to announce, this is not a bunch of doctrines. This is not a bunch of fancy cliches and a bunch of scriptures put together. This is a message. Get your house in order. Apply the token, little bride. It's your day to come out of Laodicea and to go into a rapture. My, to think tonight, church, that the prophet of God would tell us there is a difference in a Christian and a consecrated Christian. He would say it this way, there is a vast difference between a Christian and a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 5 verse 8, "Therefore, let us keep the feast, amen, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and in truth." Notice here, "let us keep the feast." So this is going to be a day where there's not going to be a shame so much to be a Christian. It's a religious day. A prophet of God would identify it in the church age book. He would say, it's a day, amen, when they subscribe to Christianity in theology. They subscribe to it in theory, amen, but then they reserve the right to deny his deity. Now, do you see where I'm going? He said, they'll say, just like the Mohammedans, they subscribe to what they read concerning the Mohammedan religion. He said, but then they reserve something in their heart, amen, to reject or to deny, amen, the deity of Jesus Christ. That's the same way. Listen, we got a world full of people that'll stand up and say Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They'll raise their hand and say he died and he rose again on the third day. They'll even say that the cross was true. They'll say that he resurrected. Amen. But they reserve the right in their heart, amen, to deny his deity, which his deity is not past tense. His deity is present tense here right now. Listen, they want to be a Christian until you get behind the pulpit and tell them that there's a Holy Ghost here that can make you live above sin. They want to be a Christian until you get behind the pulpit, take the gloves off, and call black, black, and white, white. Then they want to stand up and say, well, that was for a day gone by. Hey, but let me tell you something. You're not under that anointing. You're under a different anointing, that when you hear the word, something cries out in your heart. Amen. Lord, so be it. If a prophet said it, I believe it. And that settles every question in my mind. My, then to think tonight, man in all ages has always made an excuse. Amen. They've always made an excuse to excuse themselves from the feast of the Lord. Prophet of God would say in the days of Moses, he said they excused themselves because it didn't come according to their modern way of thinking. He would say, now I'm speaking directly to Israel, the ones that was called to the feast here, speaking to Moses. He said they would apply that then, was applied today. He said those who have been called and bidden to come to the feast and won't do it, he said it's the spiritual feast of the Lord. And they won't do it. They don't want to do it. They've got other things to do. They find excuses. Listen, this message. Amen. Let me just say this. You're not just coming here, amen, just to punch a time card on Wednesday night. You're not just coming here just to let Brother Barry know, hey, I'm still a member of Hickory Bible Tabernacle. But you're coming here on a Wednesday night because there's something on the inside of you. It's on the inside of your Father. And there's something greater than your own flesh. There's something greater than your own spirit. Amen. But there is a gene seed of God on the inside of your soul that is crying out, it's the feast. And there's only one place I can can be fed. My, then to think Paul would say, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, we speak in Christ. In the message of prisoner, he would say, sometimes I believe one of the greatest things I find in this day is the lack of sincerity of what we believe. He said, see, if God in the days of John Wesley, amen, as what we had seen him doing today, both proven by the church, by the spirit, by science, every move, he said, it's illusion has to recognize, and God's word here declaring it and telling it before it comes to pass, and then moving upon and prophesying and showing the very thing that he did when he was here, he said he would do again, and it's being done. He said, oh, and still we sit kind of slothful, as if we wonder, well, wonder if that could mean me. Listen, friends, that's the age-old trick of the devil. When you hear the word, the first thing the devil says, is that you, or is that person sitting next to you? Isn't it amazing? Well, I'm just going to go ahead and preach. Isn't it amazing how that people come to church and they spend more time trying to figure out the problems with the other people that can make the church better than they ever think about the problem might be with themselves? Amen. Now, come on. Amen. They think, well, Brother so-and-so quit sleeping while the preacher's preaching. Amen. The service wouldn't be so dead. Well, if you'd say amen, you might wake up Brother so-and-so and the service might go a whole lot better. Come on, church. They're always looking for somebody else to pick on. Listen, the time has come. This message has not come to make us a bunch of teenagers that ain't got no responsibility and just fly-by-night Christians. This message come, amen, that we might get the same sincerity upon our lives that fell upon a prophet when he heard this message and said, I'll forsake everything dear to my heart. Amen, to declare this message is thus saith the Lord. Listen, friends, if a prophet forsook all to declare the message, I think it's time some people just forsake all to declare it's the truth. My, to think tonight that people spend their whole entire services, amen, looking around and saying, well, glory to God, get him, preacher. Amen, wear his hide out. Tear him up. Tell him how it is. Amen. And the very devil that's on you is getting you to tell him to get on that other person. Well, that's free of charge. It's good preaching anyhow. Come on, church. Amen. And we have wars, and the devil before long will make us so indifferent that not even a... Oh, mercy. Amen. There's people I met in this message. Amen. They would complain if David, the psalmist, sat next to him and sung to him. They'd say he didn't sing the right psalm, or he sang too loud. Listen, friends, this church is not about complaining. Amen. This is not about a bunch of grumbling and fussing. This is a place. Amen. There's hundreds of churches gathered around you tonight. Amen. But God raised up this church. Amen. Not to be an average church with an average people. You ain't got an average ministry. You've been placed here under a divine call to the consummation of this word. My, then the prophet of God would say, then the devil comes and says, wonder if I'm really included in this. Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 is going to knock that devil right out of your mind. For behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Do you realize there's three people there? There is I, which is God. There is you, which is sitting before me tonight. And there is Elijah, which I'm not ashamed to say was William Marion Branham. Come on, church. And Brother Branham didn't introduce a personality. He introduced the person of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, that was here to fill you and was here to seal you and was here to lead you and was here to guide you. My, then to think tonight, church, we are promised another Ephesians. Amen. I'm going to say it this way, as Peter would say, ye are a chosen generation. Amen. You are a royal priesthood. Ye are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you. Somebody say called. That hath called you. Do you realize you're not here, amen, by somebody pulling up on your heartstrings? You're not here because somebody told you, amen, that this was a better church to go to. You're here because before the foundation of the world, the same God that called Job and the same God that called Ruth is the same God that called you and said, I'm going to call you when it's going to be another Genesis 1 condition, when the earth is going to be spiritually without form and it's going to be void and darkness is going to cover the earth and gross darkness is going to cover the people. Amen. But I'm going to call you out of darkness. My, I feel like dancing. I'm going to call you out of darkness into his marvelous light. My, to think tonight, church, we've not been called into any kind of light. Brother Stephen, we've been called into marvelous light. This ain't organization light. This is Messiah light. This is not any kind of light. This is Messiah kingdom light. Therefore, I want to tell you, I'm not talking to church members. I'm talking to Messiahettes. I'm talking to people that's been ordained. Amen. That God has placed their hand upon His hand upon their lives. Might I think David would say, for with thee is the fountain of life. In that light shall we see light. So David goes back and identifies there is a source. There is a fountain. It's a fountain of light. And in Acts 28 verse, or 26 verse 18, Jesus speaking would say to open their eyes. Now here he's speaking of Paul after his conversion on the road to Damascus when he was changed from Saul unto Paul. And Jesus speaking said to open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Listen, they were not mad at Paul because he was robbing banks. They were not mad at Paul because he was selling drugs, okay? They were not mad at Paul. They were mad at Paul because he was turning the people's eyes from the power of Satan, which was darkness, which was a bunch of Hebrew fathers' traditions that was crucifying the very present tense power of the pillar of fire that led Moses, amen, and returned to lead Paul. And they were mad at Paul because he was under a supernatural leadership. Oh, can I take the brakes off and preach here for a minute? Do you see why they hate you? It's because there's a seed on the inside of you that won't respond to anything but what the pillar of fire wrote has come in this generation to interpret what has been written. By to think tonight, we are not a bunch of people following psychologists. We ain't following a bunch of psychiatrists and a bunch of TV evangelists. We're following the same pillar of fire, amen, that led Moses out of confusion, led Paul out of confusion. It's the same pillar of fire that led William Branham out of Babylon confusion and set him up on the spiritual rock of revelation and said, now you follow me as I follow Christ. And that's the same light that is here present tonight. It's not come to condemn you, young people. It's come to redeem you. It's not come to bind you. It's come to give you the greatest experience of liberty that you've ever had. My, to think that this is not a reformer's day. This is not a reformer's message. A reformer didn't follow under the pillar of fire. The word of the Lord comes to a prophet. It does not come to a reformer. That's why a reformer could receive a portion of the word and continue smoking a pipe. That's why they could receive a portion of the word and continue living in sin. But when the pillar of fire come through the ministry of, is this okay? Through the ministry of William Branham, it come to call. It come to call you. God have mercy. It come to call you out of denominational confusion into the liberty of Jesus Christ. My, then to think a prophet would say, it's predicted in the scriptures. It's supposed to be here. We are promised another Ephesians. Listen, if your child, oh God, mercy, help me somebody. Amen. If you told your child tomorrow, I'm going to take you out of that playground and I'm going to take you down to Disney World. If you told them tomorrow, I'm going to come at 12 o'clock, I'm going to take you out of this playground where there's rocks and dirt and mud and the swings work half the time and the slides half broken, I'm going to take you out of this playground and I'm going to take you down to Disney World. I'm going to take you out of something falling apart and I'm going to bring you into something. Listen, it's not going to be falling apart. Are you with me now? Amen. Let me tell you something. Your child ain't going to let you forget that promise. They ain't going to let you forget that you told them, I'm taking you to Disney World. From the kids now. I'm taking you to Disney World in the morning. They're not going to let you forget that promise. Why? Because you promised it to them and they judged you that made the promise faithful. Amen. And if you made the promise, you had the power. Amen. To bring the promise to pass. Oh, can I just preach here for a minute? God didn't raise up William Branham to say there's going to be another Ephesians. Amen. For us to stay on a Baptist playground. He didn't raise up a prophet of God. Amen. To say there's going to be another Ephesians. Amen. For us to play with a bunch of Pentecostal traditions. But he raised up a prophet of God and we judge that prophecy faithful by the God who made that prophecy. That I've come to place, I'm not afraid to tell you, you're not keeping me out of my inheritance. You're not keeping me out of what God sent William Branham to lead me into. Hey, I didn't ask for this message. This message found me. You didn't ask for this message. My, I feel like dancing. This message found you. Amen. Because you was called to it from before the foundation of the world. My, hey, we're coming. coming out of sin and we're coming into righteousness. We're coming out of unbelief and we're coming into belief. What is it? It's another Ephesians, which is a part of redemption, which is a coming out of and a going into. My, before you can go into something, you got to come out of something. Before you go into something, you got to come out of it before you go into what's new. Listen, how silly would you look if you pulled up down there at Disney World and your car was loaded down with that old playground's equipment? How silly would you look? Amen. If you went to pay your ticket and you said, hey, working, I know this is simple, but it's the only way I can preach. So just stay with me, okay? Amen. How silly would you look? Amen. If you got out and said, hey, where can I hang my swing sets up? You know what? If that thing wasn't good enough then, why did you bring it here? Come on, church. If it was good enough, why didn't you play? Why didn't you stay with it? Amen. But you left that thing because there was something better. Oh, God. You left that nonsense. Amen. But broken playgrounds and broken swings because there was something better. Oh, and to think tonight, church, that God sent us this message. Amen. I don't have one ounce of desire, amen, in my heart to return back to the confusion of the Babel Tower. I don't have one ounce of desire in my heart, amen, to fall into the bondage of what some man thinks about this message. It's thus saith the Lord, and God has called you, amen, not to walk in any kind of light. Help me, somebody. He has called you, amen, to walk in marvelous light, that you might stand here when a generation don't know nothing about the supernatural powers of God. They can't even split an atom and find God. But God would send a seventh grade Kentucky hillbilly and say, that's God in the tree. That's God in the fountain. That's God up on the mountain. Listen, friends, everywhere around us, this message has identified. We have come back to the seed, and it's not air with a shuck. My, you might think I'm crazy. Leave me alone. It's my life. It's my everything. This is your day, church. This is your hour. This is your time to enjoy what God has brought you into. My, to think tonight that He said we would have another Ephesians. See what an Ephesians was? It was a walking out of law into a walk of grace. It was a walking out of Pentecostal traditions. Is this okay? Into the perfect Word, which was Christ. My, to think, Brother Ben would say, it finally come to a time that they left, and man, they were baptized. Come out to walk in a new life, in a new land, in a newness journey, amongst new people, and the hand of God upon them. But it finally come to a place in this walk that they had. They was not satisfied with their walk of grace. Listen, you're not walking a walk of legalism. You're not walking a walk of men's ideas. You're walking a walk of grace. He didn't preach in 61 the message of legalism. He preached the message of grace to announce unto you, this is going to be one of the mysteries of Revelation 10 is the mystery of grace. Brother Keith, I remember when I first heard that tape and he said, now I'm going to preach about something that I've been gotten after a lot for preaching about. It's called grace. Man, I scratched my head. I thought, who in the world is going to get after a preacher for preaching on grace? Don't everybody love grace? Don't everybody want to be a part of grace? But then when he began to preach grace, then you realize why they got after him, because he was not preaching, amen, a sin-loving society of grace. He was preaching a grace. It was the same grace that called Abraham out of the land into the promised land. Come on, church. It was the same grace that called the seed of God out of Egypt into the promised land. Come on, and that's the same grace. Listen, if you want a bunch of legalistic and a bunch of dogmas, go find you somewhere. But this message has come, amen, to give us a real liberty to be a real Christian. Amen, to be a real lover of our Bibles. My, to think a prophet didn't come, amen, to take us out of grace, but he came to lead us into grace. How many remembers what it was like under the law? Come on, you remember what it was like under the law when you went to church and said, well, you know what? I'm going to do good today. I'm going to read 3 books and listen to 4 tapes, and I'm going to pray 5 times a man. I'm going to get something out of that service. Amen. And you tried law, and law didn't work for you. You said, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to kick out my TV. Thank God, should have been kicked out a long time ago. I'm going to kick out all the nonsense. Amen. I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to hang pictures up. I'm going to put spoken word books on the shelf. Man, I'm going to dedicate this house. But the problem was, you was trying to bring it through a channel of legalism, and there was nothing there sustaining you. Amen. But when you heard the eagle scream, when you heard that you was called to this, and it's just as easy for you to come to church as it is for a drunk to go to a bar room. It's just as easy for you to raise your hands as it is for a Hollywood dancer to get on a dance floor and dance. Why? Because it's who you was called to be, and there ain't nothing can change what you was called to be. Listen, friends, I want to put every devil in hell on notice tonight. We are not like the first Eve. We are not going to fail this test. It's an open book test because we received an open book word. We are not going to fail. We are going to set our wings, amen, in the sing, and we're going to rise in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm looking at some people tonight that's not going to bow, amen, to fanaticism. They're not going to bow to nonsense. They realize grace. Somebody say that word with me, grace. Amen. They realize grace and favor has come upon them. My, Paul said, grace be unto you and favor of our Lord Jesus Christ. You realize grace means favor? Grace is God's favor showered upon men. No other word expresses, amen, the depth and the riches of the heart and mind of God but grace. There is a distinctive difference, amen, between God's grace and man's grace. God's grace is not earned. This grace came upon you and you didn't do one thing to earn it. Isn't that beautiful? Man, that's enough to make the Pope take his dress off and put a pair of pants on and shout. Amen. You didn't do one thing to deserve this grace. You didn't do one thing to earn this grace. This grace came to you unmerited. As a matter of fact, God chose you and sent a prophet in this generation to tell you that before you was born, He slipped the wedding band of unmerited predestinated grace upon your finger. Listen, before you was born and broke the womb of your natural mother, the hand of God was already upon you and it already claimed you. Amen. For this generation to rise in the power of the message that God has sent. My, this is not a bunch of creeds and dogmas. This is a specific time. This is an anointed time. This is an elected time. This is a set time by Almighty God. In Psalms 102 verse 12, I'm hurrying. Oh, help me, Lord. But thou, O Lord, shall endure forever, and thy remembrance unto all generations, and thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her. Listen, for the time to favor her, the set time is come. Do you realize we didn't know, amen, until a prophet came on the scene that Zion was a type of the bride? We didn't know that David wrote about a bride tree in Psalms the first chapter until a prophet came on the scene and said, let's pick this up and we're going to call it the bride tree. Oh, but what we also didn't know is before we was ever been born, when David was sitting there, my Brother Barry, I'm sorry, I'm not responsible for my actions right now. When David was sitting there and he was writing out and singing those psalms and the spirit of inspiration came upon him and he said, yea, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon her and thou shalt favor her, for a set time to favor her has come. Listen, you didn't know it, but he was writing about you. For John would say in Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Listen, the time was not at hand when David wrote it. The time was not at hand when Daniel wrote it in Daniel 12. The time was not at hand, amen, when John wrote it in Revelation 1. Oh, but can I announce to you tonight that the time they wrote about is no longer coming. It's here. Amen. This is the time, amen, that grace which is favor and peace which is shalom has come upon the bride of Jesus Christ. Now I tell you what, the devil hates it, but God's hand's upon you, and whatever God places His hand upon, it is blessed. Amen. The enemy may scowl it. Amen. The adversary may laugh at it, and the devil may make you a laughing stock. Amen. But let me just show you that the hand of God is upon you. When you go to work, who do they come to pray for their baby? Come on, who do they go to when their baby's diagnosed with cancer and they say, hey, we know you believe something. Will you put a prayer request in at your church? Will you put a prayer request in your youth group? Who do they come to? They come to you because at the same time, my, help me, Jesus, at the same time that David was writing this, he also wrote that thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Listen, adoption didn't come in the closet of the Father's house, but adoption came name in a public place. Oh, glory to God. Church, don't you see? Your adoption has not come hidden in a closet in Jeffersonville. It didn't come hidden, amen, in a den in Arizona. But God has raised you out of nations and tongues and kindreds and people and has laid His hand upon you, amen, to be a witness in this last day that there is still somebody in the earth that's got my favor. There's somebody in the earth that's got my anointing. Listen, church, you've got the Father's anointing. You've got the Father's hand. His power, His authority is upon you. I feel like the four lepers that sit there, how long do we sit here? Are we going to sit here until we die? Listen, they might have been four lepers, but the hand of God was still upon them. And you may feel like that the hand of God is the farthest thing away from your life. But I've come to tell you tonight that the hand of favor is upon you, young lady. The hand of favor is upon you, young man. This message has announced, devil, stand back. It's their time. My brother, you said, Brother Andy, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I'm not crazy. Probably God said, you know what? Ooh, brother. He said, they think I'm crazy. He said, but the problem is, I know where I'm at. You know what? When I heard him say that, Brother Keith, I thought, I'm going to go look that up. If somebody thinks you're crazy, the first thing they're going to ask you is, who are you? Where are you from? Where are you at? And what are you doing? Man, I couldn't wait for the devil to ask me that question again. Oh, you're crazy. I'm going to say, I know who I am. I'm the bride of Jesus Christ. I know where I'm at. I'm in my day. I'm in my age. I'm under bride anointing. I'm walking in bride favor. I know where I'm going. I'm not going in the tribulation. I'm going in the rapture. What are you doing? I'm swinging the two-edged sword of Hebrews 4 until every cinder block of the devil's kingdom falls powerless before the army of the living God. My, to think tonight, church, amen, that faith favor has come upon you. Shalom has come upon you. Anointing has come upon you. This is your hour. This is your day. Therefore, Brother Bram would not preach shalom in the first part of his ministry. He would preach it in the end because you don't. Mercy. When you go to leave somebody's house to go on a trip, and what's the last thing they say to you? Hello? No. Shalom. Shalom. Peace to you on your journey. Shalom. Have safe travels. Shalom. May God's hand rest upon you as you travel this journey. My, I feel like that. Ooh, glory. I feel like right about his worth right now. What's wrong with you? I'm so happy I don't know what to do with myself. Shalom. And a prophet didn't announce shalom in 49. He announced shalom at the end of his ministry and said, this is a different message. This is not for the church group. This is for the elected lady that is chosen in Christ Jesus. And he pronounced unto you a Hebrew greeting, shalom, which he was telling you, amen, Brother Barry, shalom. Safe travels on your third Exodus journey. I'll meet you over there. I'll see you in the promised land. Listen, friends, God is not going to raise up William Branham, amen, to open the seventh seal. It's open tonight. He's not going to raise up a big preacher, amen, to preach rapturing faith. Rapturing faith was laying up on those tapes. Then I tell you tonight, the same thing a prophet said, little bride, shalom, I'll see you over there. Oh, brother, sister, it's the hour to rise. If you've ever wanted to run, right now is the time to run. To think tonight that you are not, amen, in a fallen condition, but by the grace of God, you have been redeemed into your inheritance. You have been chosen into a predestinated inheritance, and nobody can take that inheritance from you. I'm going to come to a close here quickly. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, you realize when a prophet preached, I gotta hurry here. When a prophet preached shalom, he took you back to Genesis 1. Why did he take you back to Genesis 1? And God said, let there be light, and there was light. In shalom, he said the world, somebody say world. The world is in one of the most chaotic times of darkness that it's ever stood in. Oh, God. Brother, I'm trying to behave myself, but I feel a preaching anointing in this building right now. The world is falling apart. Denominations is falling apart. Traditions are falling apart. The world is in a terrible condition. It's no time to announce a great hour of shalom. Oh, but when you come from another civilization, when you come from a kingdom that is higher than the present kingdom you're standing in, you can announce to an entire world, this is the shalom hour. It's chaotic, but yet it's standing in again the most blessed light that it ever did shine in. Listen, church, there is an alpha, there is an omega. An alpha is in the beginning and an omega is the end. In order for it to be Alpha and Omega, nothing can change. As that, okay, nothing can change from the time it's Alpha until the time it's Omega. It's not a changeable light. Oh, listen, friends. Don't you see what a glorious light it was? That the Genesis 1 light, which was the spoken word, was the Alpha light that arose. And he said the same light that arose there is the same light that has arisen here. What is it, church? It's not the hour to fall. It's the hour to walk. Why did he preach adoption? He said, I'm preaching this in the third part of adoption to knock the idea out of your mind that you're going to fall. Listen, church, I want to take another punch of that devil tonight and tell that devil you're not going to fall. You're ordained to stand. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. My, to think the same light that was there in Genesis 1 would return. God said, let there be light, and there was light. What kind of light was that? Spoken word light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Matthew 4:16, the people which sat in darkness. I'm winding this thing down. The people which sat in darkness. Remember when you sat in darkness? Which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Look at what this word sprung means. It means to be descended from, to come down. Oh God. Glory to God. So this light was not coming up. Amen. You would think of something springing up from below, but it actually sprung down. The light come down. What was the light? The light was Christ. And from that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 1 Peter 2:9, you've been called in the marvelous light. 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, wherein do you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Listen, the day star is not going to rise in your head. That's why we got reject the sign and all kinds of nonsense on the internet, because the day star did not arise in their hearts. But if you ever see something, give me 5 minutes and we'll go home. If you ever see something, you can't unsee it. Are y'all hearing me? If you ever see something, you cannot unsee it. If you ever see, God have mercy. Brother Keaton, if you ever see the Grand Canyon, you may go 50 years and never see it again, but nobody can never take it out of your heart, because you saw it. You've seen it in its majesty. You've seen it in its expressed image. Oh, I'm going somewhere. Now do you know why you're sitting here tonight? Amen. And friends of yours have walked off. Family members of yours have walked off. You know why you're sitting here? It's because you were sitting in the shadows, in the regions of death and darkness, but the day star come down on the Ohio River 1933 and said, arise my people and lead these people into the second coming of the Lord. Listen, friends, I can't quit preaching this message because I've seen it and I can't see nothing else. It sealed my womb. It called my name. It gave me favor. It gave me anointing. It gave me power. Come on, church. It didn't just give it to the preacher. It's come to give it to you tonight. When you see it, you can't unsee it. A lot of things may change around it. This the other day we was up in some meetings at Brother John Simon's in Toronto. It was me and Brother Sean Martin's son, Seth Martin, and Brother Isaac Hatfield, Brother Eric's grandson. We was coming home, and it was Isaac's birthday, and Seth said, let's go by and see the Niagara Falls. I thought, man, I've never seen it. Now, there's something here to take note about me. I don't like going somewhere when I'm not sure where I'm going. If there's nobody there to tell me where I'm going, if they don't give me an address, if I'm just guessing. Like my wife, she wants to travel. She wants to go all over the world. Love her heart. I get a nervous wreck and we got to leave the hotel in a foreign country and I can't speak their language. I don't know. By God's grace, we'll get there one day. Y'all pray for me, okay? Somebody told me today, said, get you a guide. I said, okay, we'll tell you. Okay, so I'm on my way there and I thought, you know, I really don't want to go. I was hesitant. But then all of a sudden, I looked over at Seth and said, now there's where you're going to turn. How are you going to tell me where to turn? We're in the same car. We're in the same boat. But we weren't. Because Seth told me, I went there 10 years ago. I thought, oh, okay, now I can relax. I'm with somebody that's been there. They know how to get there. Oh, God. And it brought a peace over my heart that no matter how many red lights I come to, no matter how many signs I couldn't read I come to, it changed everything. And there was something Seth said. He said, it's been a while since I've been there, but I know where the Niagara Falls is. Are y'all catching something? Do you realize what is the attraction on the mountain? The attraction is something that never changes. God have mercy. You realize if it would have been 20 years since Seth had been there, amen, parking lots had changed. Amen, trails to get there had changed. Amen, but Brother Keith, there was one thing that had not changed. The Niagara Falls was still the attraction that was pulling them from New York and from Canada and from all over the world. Listen, friends, I want to tell you, God come in the morning, but if He tarries, is coming 50 more years. The attraction is the message of the hour, and though there be a lot of things change around it, the attraction will never change. There will still be a man here who can turn on the light. There will still be a bride that can stand to her feet as Mary stood and say, "Be it unto me, Lord, according to thy word." Listen, friends, things are going to change, but the attraction is never going to change. Won't you stand to your feet with us tonight? Things are going to change. Listen, you all can testify as well as I can. Things have changed around this message, but the message has never changed. Can you say amen? Attractions have changed, but the main attraction has never changed. The message still remains the Ephesians to the age we're living in. My, then to think tonight, church, that I'm not speaking to a bunch of people that's walking in man-made light, but I'm speaking to some people that's walking in bright light. All of the lights have faded out. All of the lights have now faded out. And now we're walking in the same light Rebecca walked in. We're walking in that same light. You know what's keeping Rebecca, what kept Rebecca going was a promise, "I'm going to meet Isaac." That's what kept Rebecca going, was a promise there's going to be an Isaac at the end of this thing. Oh, brother, what's kept you going? What's kept you going when people walked away? You come out of something that didn't have no substance to walk in something that had substance. That's what kept you going. See, it's as simple as this. When you see it, you can't unsee it. When you see, my mercy. Can you imagine when John saw his name in the book? You imagine when John got caught up and saw that book come open and saw all the revelation? You imagine when John come back and got around a bunch of church members and they said, "John, just quiet down. You've been listening to too many tapes. You know, get yourself." But the problem was John done seen it. Amen. John done seen the revelation. Yes. He saw it. Listen, friends, do you realize why William Branham went to his grave screaming, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever"? Do you realize why he went there saying, "I will not compromise for any sons of Kish"? He said, "Because I saw the land." Oh, God. Yes. He saw the land. That's why he come back in 1960 in the adoption series and preached the rejected king and said, "I went over there and said, as I left, they told me, Paul will be judged by what he preached. You'll be judged by what you preach." He said, "And I preached the same thing Paul preached." And I love the next thing he said. He said, "And I heard them say, if you're accepted, which we know you'll be accepted." Oh, brother. If you're accepted, then, and we know you'll be accepted, then we'll be accepted because we're believing in the same thing Paul preached. Oh, church, do you realize what separated William Branham from every other preacher in the land when he come back to the pulpit? He wasn't a Billy Graham to stand there and say there is a heaven. He wasn't Oral Roberts to stand there and say, "I feel like there's a heaven." But for the first time, there was a vindicated voice up on the scene that said, "Listen, church, I'm not telling you there's a land. I went to that land. I saw that land. I saw the fruit of that land. And you're going to that land. And there ain't no sin of kiss going to stop you, and there ain't no devil going to defeat you." My church, you've been called to this land. It's the time to rise and shine where the light has come. What light is it, church? It's the light of the evening time. Amen. To light the path that you walk in. Yes. Glory to God. It's the hour, it's the time, it's the season, it's the day. Let me say this tonight and I'm done. It's your hour. Amen. It's your time. The operation of the Holy Ghost is not just in the pulpit. It's in the pews. Amen. It's your time to stop sitting there and pushing on the gift of your pastor. It's time to start pulling. Amen. It's time to stop pushing against the service. Yes. It's time to start pulling. The operation is in you. This is your day. Luther couldn't come back and be successful in this day because this wasn't his day. Wesley couldn't be here today. This wasn't his day. Right. Pentecost day faded off. What day is it? A prophet said it's a bride's day. Amen. It's a bride age. It's a bride anointing. It's a bride life. It's a bride time. It's a set time. Yeah. By Almighty God. Amen. Ooh, brother Barry, I wish I was up in the field right now in West Virginia. I'd cut up right now. It's our day, church. Yeah. It's our hour. It's our season. I've seen it. I can't see nothing else. If I try to see something else, I've done seen it. Come on. When you've drunk Folgers coffee, you've seen the power in Folgers. Great value don't satisfy you because you know there's something better. I just killed the meeting right there in 5 minutes. When you drunk Starbucks, Folgers don't satisfy you because you know there's something better. Come on, church. And that's why we're not backing up to just a Pentecostal idea about God, because we heard the mighty God unveiled. We know He's here. We know He's here and among us. We know He's here to heal. We know He's here to save. We're not going to settle for the smoke. We done been in the fire. My, won't you give Him a hand clap of praise tonight? You've been called to this. You've been chosen for this. You've been elected for this. You've been anointed for this. This is your time to run. Oh my, my, let's just bow our hearts together tonight. Do you love Him with all your heart? Friends, I pray that something has been said to help you. It's time, brothers, to consecrate those homes. Young people, it's time to consecrate your lives. This message has come to make us more than just Christian. It come to make consecrated Christians. It's come to do more than just make us feel good. It's come to make us live right. Heavenly Father, Lord, I preached my heart, what was up on my heart, to this blessed group of people tonight. Father, I look out across and I call them blessed. Lord, not so much because of maybe their bank account or their car they're driving or their home they're living in. But Lord, I call them what John called them. Blessed is he that heareth and readeth this prophecy, for the time is at hand. Father, to think tonight that Brother Branham would tell us in the church age book that the time when John wrote that was not at hand. For thus in the economy and wisdom and mind of God, there is a set time. There is a specific time. There is an anointed time. There is a predestinated time that all these things must come to pass. Though it wasn't fully known to man, God, it was always fully known to you in your economy and your wisdom and your sovereignty. And Lord, as the prophet would tell us, how you watched over the natural course of that natural seed. Lord, how you protected it down through wars and fires and pestilence and diseases and famines. God, how you placed your hand upon that natural seed. But Lord, how much more have you placed your hand upon that predestinated seed? Father, I look at people here tonight, dear God, that are not just cowards and they're not just church members, but oh God, they're rugged soldiers, Lord. Father, there are men and women that has not been through just a little battle of breaking a fingernail on the way to church or forgetting to turn the lights off and the devil battling their mind through the Sunday morning service. But God, I'm looking at people that's been through sicknesses and troubles and falls and accidents. But God, they raise up on their feet tonight, not because a man prayed for them. Lord, not because of a church they go to, but because it's their time of favor, Lord. God's brought you here. God's brought you here, people, for a time of favor. And there's nothing, Lord, your prophet told us, can destroy us until the purpose you brought us up on the earth for is fulfilled. Now, Father, I pray tonight a special blessing upon every young person. Lord, how the devil is trying to destroy young minds and young hearts and young lives. Lord, how the devil is running through young people's minds with suicide and depressions and all kinds of lustful spirits. Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, upon the authority of God's Word, I rise in the power of the Holy Ghost to condemn you and to announce liberty and freedom and victory to every young heart that is in this building tonight. Satan, you have battled their minds, but this message did not come to turn their mind. This message come to turn their heart. And I pray tonight that the same light that sprung in Matthew 4 would spring right here tonight, dear God, would descend from above and would descend down in that heart. And may the day star arise. Lord, may the anointing arise in that young heart. Father, I pray for every sister here, Lord. Lord, how the devil is battling the ladies in this day and time. What a day of Hollywood fashion. What a day of perverted fashion. What a day when women, Lord, are running away and running out and doing all kinds of things ungodly. But Father, I look here today at the fifth gospel. I look here at women that's been called and ordained of God. Amen. To rise in the power of the Holy Ghost and to show this world that a lady can still be a lady in such a perverted day. And Father, as I come now to the brothers in this church, Lord, as I read that quote and fell upon my heart to preach it, Lord, the way I did, and Lord, I begin to pray to you, dear God. Father, we know that paragraph of the move is on my heart, but Lord, do we know the previous paragraphs when the prophet said men, amen, around this altar, consecrating their lives? Father, I pray tonight, dear God, a spirit of consecration, Lord, would come across this congregation, Lord. May it not just come upon the ears of a preacher. May it not just come upon the ears of a deacon, but Father, may it fall upon the ears of every head of every household. Father, may these brothers see the authority. May they see the power that lays on the inside of them. Lord, may they go home, and if the devil has brought things in that it's not going to prepare their families for the journey, for the rapture, may they kick those things out, dear God, and may they lay that rapturing faith word in there. Father, I pray you would give them strength, dear God. May you bless their homes. May you bless their ministries. And Lord, I pray for the pastor of this assembly, dear God. Lord, Brother Barry, as he stands behind this pulpit, Lord, a pastor is not a puppet, Lord. He's the man of God that has been placed here to stand between the outside world and these people, and how the devil is attacking the ministry, how he's attacking pastors and attacking preachers, because he knows they're preaching the anointed word that is going to bring a bride into a rapture position, and his time will be over. Father, I pray a coal of fire would come up off the altar. I pray you would anoint my brother, strengthen him like never before. May the Holy Ghost lead and guide him, Lord. May you give him the desires of his heart, Lord. And for this assembly, dear God, Father, may they everyone fall under a spirit of consecration, dear God. Lord, a spirit of sincerity, dear God. Lord, a spirit of humbleness, Lord. They would fall under the headship of the word that's being preached here and say, Father, prepare us for this journey. We don't want to be left behind. We want to go. Father, I pray you move among us tonight, dear God. Bless thy people. And we'll be sure, Lord, to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. Can you just raise your hands to him for a minute? Can we just sing something here? We'll walk in the light. We'll walk in light. It's such a beautiful light. Come with the dewdrops of prayer. If anybody needs prayer, come. We'll pray for you tonight. Shine all around us. That's lovely. Won't you sing with all your heart now? We'll walk in the light. Oh, yes. It's a beautiful light. It's the evening light.
Where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Oh, shine all around.
Your friends.
Jesus, the light of which we need. Oh, we'll walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. Walk where the dewdrops of mercy turn back, 'cause I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. Goodbye, world. I say so long to you. Made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Sing it again now. Goodbye, world. I say so long for you. rest of my life. Made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Glory to God. Feel like you've been to church tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. We'll walk in like this if you'll play it so I can get it. We'll walk in the light. We got another version of that. Walking in the light of God. We'll walk in the light. We'll walk in the light. We'll walk in the light. Walking in the light of God. Said tonight, we are here because God's shown us things. Even when you weren't in the message, God showed you things. When you were not in a message church, God was showing you things, right? But He hasn't shown us everything yet. We are here because He wants to show us more. He brings us from one environment by showing us things into an environment where He can show us more. And God's not finished revealing Himself. Matter of fact, Brother Bram said He'll do it even out in the millennium. Amen. And so there's more to see. There's more to understand. There's more to embrace. Amen. There's more to affect you than what affected you to bring you out of where you were into where you are. There's more going to affect you to even take you out of your body into a body that God's prepared for you. And so I'll tell you what, it's an exciting thing. And we are here not just because God's done something in our lives, but to me, that set the stage for what God wants to do in our lives. Because He wants to do greater things. Hey, listen, it's going to be greater because you're still here. Yeah. God's got something greater so that we won't be here. Amen. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Do we sing that song? We don't know. Then we will, I'll tell you what, we'll sing another song while we're thinking about whether we know that song. Jesus, I'll never forget. I'm not going to try that. Jesus, I'll never forget what You've done. Jesus, I'll never forget how You set me free. Oh, Jesus, how You pulled me. Jesus, I'll never forget. I'll never forget.
Lord, may we never, ever forget all you've done for us. Lord, you brought us to this place, but Lord, you have more to show us. You have more to give. Father, I just pray that you would just continue to deal with our hearts, Lord. May we, as Brother Andrew said tonight, may we consecrate ourselves to what you have for us, Lord. May we come to the house of the Lord with hearts prepared. And Father, now we just commit the people into your hands, Lord, asking you, Lord, to minister to every need as only the Holy Spirit can. Because, Lord, we know you know all about it even before we come to you. We also believe by faith you have an answer. Lord Jesus, I commit the people into your hands now. Bless the balance of our week. All we put our hand to do, Lord, may your blessing rest upon it. I commit our needs into your care, Lord. Thank you for Brother Andrew and Sister Mariah, Lord. I ask that you would guide them safely, Lord, on the highways and all of the traveling they do, Lord. May, Father, you give them wisdom and guidance. I commit them into your care. Have your way, we pray now, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. And amen.
For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
Sing it as you go tonight. God bless you. Think about it.